All right. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you may be. Thank you for joining us. Another episode of Catching Up with Jacob. And here he is, undisclosed location, somewhere between New York and California. Jacob Prash, how you doing?
Greetings from Montana. I just disclosed it. Every blessing in the world.
Yeah. Greetings, Jacob. Welcome, brother. God bless you. And not too far from where you are, David Lister.
Yes, I'm right next door to him. So
next door, not good in to Wyoming, be here. But literally next door. Right, not in Wyoming. Yeah. But, okay, good. down the street from my house. Too far, not too far. A little bit further than where David is to Jacob. It's Jay. How you doing, Jay?
I'm having fun in the California sun.
Nice shirt. It reflects it.
Thank you.
Amen. And down under, Davey, you're ahead of us again Saturday. Catch up with you. How you doing this morning?
Doing pretty good, thanks. Yep.
All right. Praise the Lord. God bless you guys. And so welcome those who are watching live on Catching Up with Jacob. We're on different platforms today, from Facebook to YouTube, which we'll eventually be leaving that over to Rumble and other platforms for backstage. But in the meantime, you get to watch us there. We do like for you to watch on Morial.tv and MorialTV.org. That would be wonderful for us to know that you're watching there. Rumble's a very good platform, and they've been in the headlines. And we're going to talk about Rumble at the end of our episode here on Catching Up. You can also catch us on Vimeo. You can also catch us on Telegram, as well as RTN. And if I'm missing one, please forgive me. But I think those are all of them. So welcome those who are watching and those who are watching later. So we're so blessed to have you here. We praise the Lord for you. And we pray for you guys, those who support and watch Moriel, as well as other channels like our Community Church of DeVore channel, DeVore Truth. Thank you guys for watching. And just before we get started, Jacob, you got a couple of announcements just to get everybody caught up on what's coming up after your visit here. You'll be in the UK and in Ireland as well. So let us know.
Yes, I'll be coming back to Britain, Lord willing, and then very quickly moving on to Ireland, both Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. On the 2nd of November, I will be at Calvary Pentecostal Church with Pastor Peter Stephen Chumble in Newton Abbey, which is on the outskirts of Belfast. And then I'll be at Belfast on Orangefield Crescent at Agape Christian Fellowship with Pastor Marty Foster. That'll be on the 3rd, 4th, and 5th. The times are all posted on the website. And then the 6th, we shall be in the Republic of Ireland, Holy Catholic Ireland, in County Boyle. We'll be going to County Boyle this time. That will be posted very shortly. I hope you can join us there. Now, just concerning the British conference, the English-Welsh conference, we asked for more rooms and accommodations because we booked up and ran out of accommodation. It's a residential conference. Beryl did manage to get some more rooms, but those are basically gone. So while we were going to keep the bookings open until the 1st of October, we ran out of rooms. We got some more rooms, and now we're out of those as well. You might want to try Beryl if you're very lucky in case there's a cancellation, but basically the conference in England is filled up. That will be the 17th to the 19th of November. After that, we're off to India, Lord willing, but more of that in the future.
All right. Thank you, Jacob. And David Lister and I will be heading down to Australia, New Zealand at the end of the year. So we're glad to be there. And so if you're watching from Australia, New Zealand now or later, we're going to see you soon. So we do have the schedule somewhat. I think it's all ready to go or not, David, but I'll let you announce that when we visit you down under.
Yep. We're getting it together. What I can let you know at the moment, we'll be in Sydney November 4th and 5th, Saturday and Sunday, November 4th and 5th. On the Monday, November 6th, we'll be in Brisbane. Wednesday, November 8th, we'll be in Perth. We'll be in Melbourne Saturday and Sunday, November 11th and 12th. And then we'll be heading off to New Zealand. We'll be in New Zealand from Wednesday, November 15th through to Sunday, November 19th.
All right, good stuff. Well, can't wait to get there. Can't wait to be there, not only with you, Ron, and all the brothers and sisters that are there. It'll be an awesome blessing. Plus, we've got our brother David Lister there, visit some of the churches that are there. Some of the believers there will be a lot of fun. So we're looking forward to that. All right, I think that was all the announcements we have. So that was actually pretty fast. Podcast. Yes, Jay, let us know about podcast.
So if you haven't already listened to, we have always Catching Up with Jacob, but we also have Ken's Corner. And if you haven't heard any of the Exodus Bible studies that have gone up recently, they are excellent, as well as the study with Sandy on 1 John. 90% of our downloads are on Apple. You can find us on Apple. You can find us on Amazon, Podchasers, and just about anywhere you have a podcast download button, you can do it. So please make sure to download and listen to as many podcasts as you like.
Very good. Thank you. And podcast is always a great way to share all the Bible studies and all the wonderful episodes that we have and getting people to know Christ. And we'll add some more. We actually are in the works of trying to add some more of these episodes and new things, especially coming in the new year. So, all right, that's all we got for announcements. Jacob Prash, let's get started and catching up with Jacob. We won't talk about New York City removing the statues of, considering removing the statues of George Washington, among others, at the taxpayers' money because of all the crisis New York is suffering right now. And of course, they got a wonderful mayor and he's got wonderful plans for New York and they're spraying people and with God knows what they're spraying. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in New York, put it that way. I guess they don't want the migrants there anymore, a sanctuary city. So
they invited them. Now they say we don't want you after we invited you. Look, Adams, first of all, I've heard the man make statements that if a white person made those statements, they would be labeled as a racist by the media. So yes. I consider Adams to be a racist and an incompetent, but also he's a hypocrite.
Yeah. And it's interesting what happens in New York City. It's been a fascinating place to watch and see over the last 4 years. We actually know some believers that you obviously are going to be there at some point, Jacob. So what about the one that we can't talk about, the one, the guy that got carjacked, the one that got carjacked in his home. And we won't talk about that one, but that was a pretty creepy video of just how unsafe the world has become.
And this is Lake Tahoe.
Yeah.
A residential resort area. A very affluent area, but saturated with liberals. And we know how liberals vote. They get what they voted for. The gentleman who was hijacked, and I'm sorry, he was hijacked and violently attacked. He said he doesn't believe in guns. Well, too bad. He might not have gotten hijacked and had two cars stolen, beaten to a pulp in his own garage if he did believe in guns. If he had the means to defend himself, it might not have happened.
Yeah. And it is unbelievable that you're not even safe in your own garage in some of these cities. And obviously, we've seen the implosion of some of these cities, liberal cities. And of course, we'll talk about the migrant crisis that's coming up because they're very happy with migrant crisis as long as it's not in their city as New York and other cities like Chicago wants to. It's funny. They want to send them to Texas. You know, they don't want to send them to the country of origin. They're very happy as long as they're just south of a certain line into Texas. So
in a red state, yes.
Yeah, it's crazy. Anyway, let's get on to the catching up. Jacob, NATO is fracturing. Poland announces they no longer arm Ukraine. The dam is breaking. The unified Western support of Ukraine is failing. Other countries are bailing out soon. They haven't announced it yet, but the corrupt Volodymyr Zelensky goes to the UN, asks for more money, speaks about climate change more than anything else, goes to the Senate, goes to Congress, I should say, asks for more money. Biden promises what he has already promised. Like he didn't get him a lot more money than this, but he goes and meets with J.P. Morgan to privatize his support for the war. It's a desperation right now. It's in free fall. His support has become very weak. Jacob, fill us in. Not on the Russia. We'll talk about Russia in a minute, but just simply on the Ukraine aspect of it with Voldemort coming in and asking for more money.
First of all, Ukraine was a corrupt country. You can say that Zelensky was the elected leader of that country as opposed to a illegitimately elected Putin, although Putin has a high approval rate even among his people now. One may make that argument. But let's remember, Ukraine was a corrupt country, easily as corrupt as Russia. That's why the Bidens had their fingers in it. That's why Biden's son was in it. It was a corrupt country. It was a place to do corrupt business. So Biden has certainly a family business interest in perpetuating it, but that's only scratching the surface. I don't agree with what Putin did. I think he's an aggressor. I always thought he was a neo-Stalinist. I don't believe there's any legitimacy to his claims on the areas of Ukraine that he wants to annex or has annexed to Russia, including Crimea. I don't like him. I don't agree with it. I don't agree with any of that. But let's not pretend that Zelensky is a nice man or an honest man, or that the government of Ukraine is somehow at the vanguard of Western democracy and righteousness. It's just not like that. It's a corrupt government. Remember, most NATO countries did not want Ukraine in NATO because of its corruption. Yeah. Many EU countries did not want Ukraine in the EU because of its corruption. Now, of course, that spells opportunity for Biden and his son. That's different.
That's sure.
But the countries of Europe know exactly how corrupt Ukraine is. There is no good guy in this conflict. It's very much like the Balkans. There's only bad and worse. You had the Serbians who were bad. You had the Bosnians who were bad. And you had the Kosovo Muslims who were worse. That is all you've got, is a lesser of evils. Now, I feel very sorry for the Ukrainian people who are being decimated. I actually do. And I don't approve of what Putin is doing. But neither, however, do I see Mr. Zelensky as some righteous figure who Nancy Pelosi has called Churchillian. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous.
He's actually has American citizen, a citizen journalist sitting in a Ukraine prison. He won't let him go, but we keep sending money and begging for billions, you know, I guess more to protect Ukrainian freedom. He's been against religious, the religious figures there, imprisoning them if they don't agree with them. I understand the lesser of two evil aspect of it, but I think Ukraine will be part of maybe the worst part of it for me. David Lister, what do you think?
Well, for me, when I see Ukraine, who some of his army troops carry Black Sun flags and they're basically Nazis. We remember Ukraine was very involved in the sex trade of women and drugs, and every wicked thing is there. So they're not a good country that we want to rescue, but our country is so far deep in this thing now, it's almost looks like it's sparking a hot war instead of a cold war. Right. The Cold War is certainly putting a lot of money in people's pockets.
Yes.
Personally, politicians, things like that, and others. So I have a choice between bad and bad, you know?
Worse and worse. Now, what do you think of, we'll go back to Jacob. Jacob, the NATO plans, which we heard the head of NATO today, and he's talking about this is a NATO thing. Now, remember, first they said it's not a NATO thing. It's a Ukraine-Russia thing. Now he says, like many politicians, of course, they double down on their hypocrisy. He says, no, it is a NATO thing. And he's actually looking for 3.5 million troops to in the event of a direct war with Russia. Now, I don't know where they're going to get 3.5 million. Maybe some Finnish kids and some Swedish kids are going to join that with the newest addition to the NATO. But I'd see NATO being a very formidable aggressor, just as bad as Russia. All right, we'll go to Jay real quick. Jay, your thoughts? I mean, we've talked about offline Ukraine and all the stuff that's going on, but the fact that NATO is such an aggressor, I mean, they're saying, look, if Russia wants a war, you know, they shouldn't have asked for this. It's basically what he's saying. Now he's got NATO up up the street with Sweden and Finland. What's your thoughts on NATO? I mean, they're the ones who are seemingly as aggressive as Russia.
Yeah, NATO is definitely trying to push this war into a hot war.
That's
and,
right.
You know, what we're seeing with the Ukraine is something that was seen in World War II.
No.
When you put children and you put older men on the front line and you have something like what the Ukraine is doing, it's no longer a war. It becomes a slaughter. Yeah. And we rightfully called Adolf Hitler a monster for doing that. For putting children and old men on the front lines. We rightfully called Hirohito and the regime of Japan that was willing to sacrifice their civilian population for the war effort. Mm. These are all things that NATO is doing. They're doing the monstrous things that the Nazis and Imperial Japan did, and they're doing it for what? They're annihilating a country.
Yeah.
But for what? For freedom? I don't know. I mean, really, it doesn't make sense to me. Come to a point where you have to have a negotiated settlement just for the survival of your people, for the welfare of the people.
They're bringing in everybody to the front lines. I mean, homosexual groups, LGBT groups are very upset that they're being called. Transgenders are being called to fight. Men, like you said, over 65 are called to fight. So
women nurses are being drafted to go to the front line to be put in danger, let's say, to save people that are being injured. And NATO is causing this. Because they are emboldening Zelensky and backing him up with whatever he needs to do this.
Yeah, they're propping him up. Now they got to take the rug under. So maybe expect a rug pull here. Let's go to Davey real quick. Davey, in Australia and New Zealand, obviously in that area part of the world, we don't hear too much about their involvement in it. Obviously, they're part of the Five Eyes with the UK, with Canada, with the US. But what's the sentiment there of the scrimmage? It's so far away; it almost seems like it's in another world. But what is the sentiment there among Australians and New Zealanders and the government there?
Well, we don't really have the alternate news platforms here that exist in, you know, the US and stuff like that. So there is a far more aggressive pro-Ukraine, anti-Russian sentiment. Mm. In fact, we've seen some pretty horrific things happen because of that. You know, a young kid getting aggressively treated on a Q&A show on TV for daring to question the narrative, you know, a Russian-born kid, kid, and got his very poorly treated. You do see homes flying Ukraine flags too. Most people here just buy what they're fed on the mainstream media, unfortunately. And that goes with everything.
It's the government up there with Albanese. Is he formally just backing Ukraine? Has he taken a side? I mean, a lot of countries have not. A lot of countries are like,
you got no side.
Not taking a side.
Find that.
I must admit, look, when Albanese comes on a lot lately, it's pretty much like Dan Andrews. I kind of leave the room. My blood pressure goes up.
Here, just I'm going to bring mine in.
It is interesting. You know, there are countries that have not really bought into the war or taken sides. But we did have something interesting that happened. I think it affects a lot of the world is what Russia did. They halted gasoline and diesel. So it is reported that temporarily they're going to halt this, but you know what that means when a government says temporarily, just ask Richard Nixon. And so the biggest seaborne exporter of diesel-type fuel is halting it. I believe skyrocketing prices are going to go through the roof for diesel, as well as obviously gasoline. Here in California, we'll pay a premium always. But this is going to affect many of the countries that are perhaps even neutral at it. They're going to have to be, obviously affected by the price of gas, by the price of oil. I think barrel was $85 to $90 a barrel, soon to be $100. What is it over there, Jay? You're paying for on gasoline, diesel down in your area?
Yeah,
I'm at about $580 to $6, depending on if I'm in North Hollywood or Hollywood proper.
Yeah, it's definitely climbing over six. It's definitely climbing over $6.
Great Britain and most of Europe is substantially higher than that.
Yeah, because you guys have
the Saudi Arabians are cashing in.
Yeah,
the Saudi Arabians who are responsible.
All right, Jacob, you're back. Good job. All right, so going back to the NATO thing, going back to the, you know, they see Russia as the aggressor, but they themselves are the aggressors. They themselves do not want any peace. I mean, if there really were for peace, they would have drawn up the deal quite a long time ago. It is NATO 2.0, what they did in 1991 with Yugoslavia. It's again the same thing, except Bill Clinton's not there. Another, you know, let's say sexual deviant is there with Biden. And it's not Solana anymore. Javier Solana, it's another guy in NATO. But what's your thoughts on NATO? I know the U.S. pays quite a premium for that.
You're asking me?
Yes, since you're back, yeah.
Okay. First of all, we have to understand that there are select interests who are profiting from the war. We've already talked about American defense contractors. Also, Saudi Arabia has cut production. Saudi Arabia is very much doing quite well because of this war and because of its ramifications. They're just basically doing what they've always done, putting a knife in the back of the Western countries, of the Christian countries. They have never had any shortage of friends in Washington, particularly the House of Bush. The Saudi Arabians shafting us. That's what happened. This was also aggravated by the failure to build the Keystone Pipeline and the other energy policies of the Biden regime, which you've just heard Gavin Newsom today demanding even less domestic production in the United States. Now, what is that going to do to the price of oil for the average American? What is that going to do? It's going to be something absolutely horrific. Don't just look at what's happening in the Ukraine. Look at what's happening in international commodity, particularly oil prices. Look at what's transpiring with grain prices. And look at what's transpiring in the energy costs, particularly in continental Europe. That is what undergirds what is happening. The unwillingness of the Ukraine to negotiate is not simply the fault of the Ukraine. It's the fault of Putin. Putin will only negotiate on the basis we get to keep what we've already taken. Now, you want to negotiate an end to the war? Let us keep what we've already taken. The Ukrainians are saying no. There is no good guy in this war. There is no good guy in this war. There are victims. There are victims. Ukrainian people are victims, but there's no good guy.
Jacob, the Lavrov, Sergei Lavrov, comments, yes, about blaming the U.S. as they're the ones who are basically handling all the Ukraine activity, inflicting strategic defeat to Russia is what they want. This is what he said. He said the U.S. is basically in control of Kiev. They're the ones basically calling for the aggression against Russia. And for many years, they have groomed this. This is obviously, he's going back to the 2014 meddling elections with Obama, Rice, and Nuland. And he's coming out and said, look, they're giving billions of dollars to the Ukraine military, which obviously they really, you know, it's been a terrible, terrible result. But when Lavrov says things like this, I don't think he's kidding. I don't think it's for show. I don't think it's for, you know, headline news. I don't think it's to get kudos. I think there's some serious stuff there.
There is substance to what he says. But however, Putin, Russia invaded Ukraine. Ukraine did not invade Russia. Putin grabbed the Crimea in 2014. Ukrainian did not grab anything Russian. As far as the so-called election meddling, well, that is true. But it is also true that as Putin murdered Litvinenko in London, he tried to murder the political leader in Ukraine. The guy's skin turned blue after Soviet intelligence tried to poison him or succeeded in poisoning him. Again, there's no good guy. the Russians are trying to make themselves the victims. We're fighting Nazis. Okay, there is that element, but that element is not in eastern Ukraine that he's announced. The pro-Nazi element is in the far western crusade, Ukraine, close to the Polish border. And secondly, if they were as powerful as Putin has claimed, they wouldn't have a Jewish president. Putin is no righteous man. He's no righteous man. Don't look for a good guy in this conflict. It is very much, as you've said, like what happened in the former Yugoslav. There's no good guys, only bad guys and worse guys. There are victims, but there's no vanguard.
Back to Lavrov. I didn't want to get into the Putin stuff, but just what Lavrov said. He's not walking this back. The reason why I say that, many times when he speaks, you know, Putin doesn't walk it back. If we look at it as a whole, this is a pretty damning statement that sounds like David had talked about a Cold War becoming a hot war, becoming a tactical war. I showed you that map of that NGO that's run by the UN. They wanted to break up the Russia Federation. Now, who knows? In reality, if this is a NATO plan, if this is a UN plan, if this is an American plan, but they seem to be ardent opponents of what Russia has become, the Federation. Jacob, any thought, we'll go to you first and then go to David, any thought that they want to break up Russia?
To Putin's perspective, they lost the Warsaw Pact. Then they lost the CIS, the heir to the Soviet Union. They lost the Warsaw Pact. They lost the Soviet Union. Then they lost the CIS. What do they have to lose next? Russia itself. They've already had a civil war in Chechnya. There are other separatist movements in Russia. It is not monoethnic. It never really has been. That is what they are very much afraid of. Now, as far as the Western desire to break it up, well, I do not deny that. But it is still in response to Putin's own aggression to a degree. He is a cold warrior. He resents having lost the Cold War. That is a driving factor in what he does. I do not agree with the way this is being handled by NATO or by Biden, but the idea that we're backing an unrighteous Ukraine against a righteous Russia, there's nobody righteous. There is just no one that is righteous in this. But yes, they would like to fragment Russia. There's no question.
Yeah, it just seems crazy to me that you don't like what Putin's doing. So we're going to break up the entire country as a way of showing you we don't agree with you. That is just madness it's going to create a war that no one's going to ever.
Yeah, but let's understand that there's other factors. First of all, Russia is backing the Armenians because of Nagorno-Karabakh. The Russians are afraid of a second war taking place between Kazakhstan and Nagorno-Karabakh and with the Azerbaijanis. He's afraid of that. And he has a good reason to be. He also has taken a very aggressive policy and backing Syria's regime under Assad and has re-extended Soviet military presence into the Eastern Mediterranean. In the Sahel, sub-Saharan Africa, again, you had the Wagner Group all over the place getting control by of these African juntas where there's mineral wealth. They're not just arbitrarily going after Russia because they don't like them. They're going after Russia because of the aggressions of Putin. He is trying to the extent possible to resurrect not the Soviet Empire. He knows he can't do that. But certainly to resurrect Russia as a global player. That is what he's trying to do. He's doing it in Africa. He's doing it in Syria. He's doing it in Nagorno-Karabakh. And he's doing it in the Ukraine. That is what it comes to. He's not a good guy. There is no good guy.
Yeah, I think the globalists don't like what he's doing. And so they're going to try to fragment it. David Lister, you're back.
Yeah. Hopefully. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, okay. I guess I am back.
Look, I got to ask you a question real quick before you
start. Okay, go ahead.
The question I want to know is, we watched the speech of Voldemort, Zelensky, and climate change in order to go after Russia? Really?
That's right.
Their excuse to invade it?
Absurd.
This is bizarre, ridiculous, beyond belief. I mean, I'm not saying Russia is the good guys Jacob's talking about, but they're not using climate change to go and destroy another country.
That was his argument. He was equating Putin's actions, aggressions, with climate change.
Yeah.
That is the kind of sleazeball you're dealing with in Zelensky. He's not Churchillian. He's not anything like a Churchillian. He's a sleazeball.
So that when they blew up the pipeline between Russia and Germany, that helped the environment, really.
Kissinger said that the Ukraine did that. It was not the Americans or British or NATO, or Russia.
I know.
It was Ukraine.
I didn't even know Kissinger was still alive, but he might as well look like he's beyond the grave now. David Lipson, back to you.
Yeah, he's about Kissinger, I believe, is about 98. So, and he's still advising. Yes. But the thing with Zelensky going into the climate change, look, there is a lot of money out there for this sort of thing. So because he's now becoming desperate, Poland has now stopped funding him. They were first in, first out. He knows that more is coming down the pike of rejecting him. So why not jump in bed with whoever you can? And if it's the climate people, you'll do that. You know, all you have to do is stop the war, and then we'll have better climate. But this whole thing is just running on profits. From Smedley Butler to Dwight Eisenhower warned about the defense industrial complex. The Democrats love wars. And so it's war is something that it makes profit for old men and is paid in young men's blood. And this is what's happening here is just constant war for money to keep flowing all over the world. We even now see that 25 billion is going into the International Monetary Fund that could be going into this. Well, usually that money goes to Clinton and he distributes to other people. So we'll see how that goes. But
yeah, maybe they should ask Marina Abramovich. Donate some money to the Zelensky orphanage. You know, I'm sure that's.
I agree with what David said, and I also agree with what Marco said about the globalists not approving of Putin's policies. Absolutely, the World Economic Forum are at odds with Putin's actions. This is for sure. What David said is also for sure. But let's not forget the other major factor: who is benefiting, not just in the West, like Raytheon and defense contractors. Who is benefiting in the East?
Yep.
Russia is selling oil, natural gas to China and India at a discount. It is not refined oil. It is crude. India and China can both have a refining capacity. They can refine their own oil. So they're getting it discounted, and they're not getting the high-priced refined oil. Thirdly, they're paying for it in Indian rupees and in Chinese yuan. What's Putin going to do with that kind of money? China is benefiting from this, and India is certainly benefiting from it. Look at the ruble. Russians are not giving accurate statistics for obvious reasons. They're fudging the figures about the trade and so forth. But look at their currency. Look at the ruble. They've just raised interest rates to 13%. 13%, because the ruble is worth one U.S. penny or less. This is troubling them. No matter what certain people say, Russia is being hit internally. I know people are trying to deny that, not just the Russians. There's people in the West trying to deny it as well. But Russia is being hit. Look at the currency. That is something they cannot lie about or control. Yeah. The ruble is in trouble. They're having to raise interest rates. Look at who is benefiting. We know who's benefiting in the West. Who's benefiting in the East? India and China. It's a bigger game.
Yeah.
But even in the Middle East, there's great benefits. We saw that Saudi Arabia said their country is growing at 20%. The UAE is now looking like they're going to get F-35 fighters. The expansion of war is everywhere. So
absolutely,
whoever sells F-35s, hey, they're going to be making money. Raytheon, and
we have to remember how much natural gas Qatar has. Qatar and Iran together produce as much natural gas as Russia does easily. Yeah.
Don't forget Azerbaijan too. Azerbaijan,
Azerbaijan. The United States, I think, is fourth.
Yeah. Jacob, real quick, I want to, a couple of things, and then we'll go back to David real quick. It's this mentality. Do you agree with this mentality? We can push Russia. We can push Russia. We can push Russia because Russia wouldn't dare attack NATO. This is the mentality. Do you agree with that mentality?
They threatened Britain. They threatened Britain the week before last.
Yeah.
Will they do it lightly? They know if they did anything nuclear towards NATO, it would be back to the old mad game, mutually assured destruction. But that's not to say they would not use tactical nuclear weapons against the Ukraine. That is a more plausible fear.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So there is that issue, and there is that element. But again, desperate people do desperate things.
North Korea is involved.
Iran, yes, and Iran. Now Iran and North Korea are both involved.
It's escalating. Now, I want to ask you real quick, before we go to David, is Erdogan. Here's a guy that sits in the middle. Now, he sits in Turkey, obviously Asia Minor, a lot of biblical history there. A lot of the New Testament was written there. It's a big part of Christianity in its past. Here's Erdogan sitting on both sides. He's friends with Russia. He wants to be EU. He's NATO, but he's pro-East. What do you make of it? Is he the biggest...
We have to understand something, that the conflict in Nagorno-Karabakh is not getting a lot of publicity in the United States or in Europe or Britain. It's not getting a lot of media attention, but it's getting a lot of media attention in Turkey. It's getting a lot of media attention in the Middle East.
We talked about it here.
The Azerbaijanis are ethnic Turks. They're ethnically Turkish. Like Australians are Anglo-Celtic, not the Wogs, as they call them, but the traditional Aussies are Anglo-Celtic. Well, so too, those people in the Nagorno-Karabakh, they are ethnic Turks. There are two places where Erdogan and Putin are in conflict. One, they support rivals in Syria. They're at odds in Syria. And the other is now in the Nagorno-Karabakh.
Mm. Big problem.
Russia is backing the Armenians. Yeah. Not that the Armenians have any great love for the Russians, but you can't be choosy when you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Who your friends are going to be.
Wouldn't Turkey be in trouble because of their economy? Erdogan is driving it into the toilet.
Yes. See, Turkey has a weapon that it's never used. Since World War I, and that weapon is the Dardanelles and the Bosporus.
Yep.
The weapon. It's not used.
Yeah. Is he, David, is he burning the candle at both ends? Is he, is he pro Europe or pro Russia?
Whatever horse he can ride on, he's going to ride on it because
he has to. Yeah.
He's just trying to act like he's some master politician to bring about whatever his intentions are, but his intentions is probably trying to keep his head on his shoulders. He's not a well-liked man. Even in Turkey, his popularity has gone down as people are suffering greatly in the economy. But Europe fears him because he says he can release millions of Muslims into Europe.
Correct.
Yep.
He has a weapon he can use against Europe with Islamic immigration, Arab immigration. The other thing is, even apart from Ukraine, even if there was no war in Ukraine, the Turkish economy would be in serious trouble.
Mm.
Serious trouble. Another thing we should point out is this. Now, I do not personally plan on voting for Mr. Trump again, for certain reasons, with the gay thing in Mar-a-Lago, and because now he's liberalizes a position on abortion just this week. That's another reason. However, had he been the president, had he been in the Oval Office, this war would not have happened.
I agree. Real quick, before we move on, we talked about the economies. Governments now are calling for price control in the West, now specifically Canada and the U.S. That's the ones I want to focus on, Canada, U.S. Not so much in the U.K., although France, Germany, they have some economic problems. But last month, it was surreal. It was the Bidenomics, that they call it. That says inflation is just about over. We just kind of get this done, and people are happy because they have jobs and they have money. And you see the pundits going on CNN saying people should be grateful for having an economy like this. But inflation is not over. CPI is a mess here. And now they're calling for price control. So on the one hand, they're saying the economy is great. On the other hand, they're saying, well, the Inflation Act, the Reduce the Inflation Act, we need to start moving into price control. Canada is moving into that. Jacob, real quick, you remember the price controls of Nixon and of course, of Carter. And how did those work out? And what exactly do they want to do with the price control?
Well, what it amounted to under Nixon, a wage price freeze. Mm-hmm. You put a lid on top of the cauldron that's boiling, and then you turn up the gas. You turn up the heat, and but keep the lid on top. That's what it comes to. Unless you're going into a reduction of fiscal debt, you're going to make a bad situation worse in the long run for the sake of temporary political relief before an election or something. That's what that comes to. Now, Paul Kluger, who's been saying these kind of things, the financial editor of the New York Times, he got the Nobel Prize for idiocy. I know people got Nobel Prize for physics, for chemistry, for medicine, for economics. That man got the Nobel Prize for idiocy. He did. David will tell you. What statistic is it, David? 61% of American families are living paycheck to paycheck?
Yeah, that's correct.
Maxing out on credit cards is at a near all-time high in the United States. Yep. Okay. And food prices have gone up 20% since Biden was elected.
20 to 50%, Jacob. 20 to 50%, depending on the
20 to 50, idea. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, coming down on the sales. 20 to 50. And and that's not counting oil.
No.
Yet there are still enough stupid people who watch things like The View. And, you know, they'll listen to Whoopi Goldberg and Joy Behar, and they'll believe it. There's people who are more than happy to sign their own death warrant. All you have to do is give them a pen. They're called students, liberal Jews, blacks, and suburban housewives with nothing better to do than to watch Sonny Hostin on television.
So Executive Order 11615, that was Richard Nixon's 1971. Yep. The Economic Stabilization Act. What happened at that point, Jake? I mean, why did it? I mean, we know why it would fail, but what did it do to prices?
First of all, we have to understand that it and its ramifications extended beyond 71 into 73 when you had the oil embargo during the Yom Kippur War.
Yeah.
That aggravated it. Let's also remember that there was a virtual defaulting upon the dollar because France was taking the gold bullion. That also was part and parcel of it. But what I said was, you've got a pot on a stove boiling over. You put a lid on it and hold the lid and turn up the gas at the same time. That is what that kind of wage price controls achieve.
I mean, you're going to make,
for the sake of a short-term gain, you're going to make a more dangerous longer-term situation.
I mean, Volcker had to put the interest rate at 20% just what Carter did and what
because Ford. Of Carter. You had double-digit inflation that was out of control under Carter.
Yeah. And if you look at the M2 supply, money supply, it is greater than it's ever been. How in the world are you going to get that under control? And, of course, Canada, Trudeau is meeting with the housing minister and the food minister, but it would just be a bunch of grocery store CEOs and telling them that they need on the one hand, you need to upgrade your profits. On the other hand, you need to bring down your prices because you can't charge them too much. There's a price control on groceries. It's called the Competition Act to enhance competition across the economy. I love how they name them things that absolutely have nothing to do with it.
Sorry, what becomes the inevitable result of that? Two things. One, shortages.
Mm.
At supermarkets, grocery shops, shortages. Two, black markets.
Mm.
Those are the two automatic consequences of those policies if pursued for any period of time.
Now, one of the things he floated, this is Trudeau in Canada, is that the government can control these stores and provide some relief to the obviously the grocery stores in order for them to continue to survive. Isn't that similar to what Brandon Johnson wants to do in Chicago?
Precisely. Another version of the same thing. Mm. What you are having, because of the policies in Chicago of Kim Fox, one of the Soros-funded district attorneys who are pro-crime, and who will not prosecute criminals and who will tie the hand of the police. When you legalize shoplifting, when you legalize theft, when you legalize smash and grab, this is what they've done. This is what they basically legalized it. People know they can do these things with impunity. Stores close down. Walmarts close down. Other chains close down. Supermarkets close down. So now they have what they call a food desert.
Mm.
Oh, the minorities and blacks are being victimized. You're turning our neighborhoods into food deserts. No, Kim Fox is turning your neighborhood into food desert. Brad Johnson, Lori Lightfoot, I'm turning your neighborhoods into food deserts because you voted for them. You got what you voted for. It's a direct result of your own actions and of the people you elected. That's the food desert. You're actually saying, if you don't continue to operate a business at a loss and agree to be robbed and agree for your employees to be assaulted in some cases, intimidated, your customers to have their cars broken into, if you don't agree to that, you're a racist. That's what it comes to. So what are you going to have? You're going to have grocery shops, if he has his way, owned by the city, owned by local government.
Yeah.
Where people with Obama food stamps from the food stamp president, who gave people food stamps instead of jobs, Obama's food stamps, you take those and you go from the government and you go into a shop owned by the government. That's not just socialism. That is communism. Yeah. That is Sovietism, virtually.
Yes. Soviet-style
now,
store.
What happened in the Soviet Union? Long lines, shortages, corruption, black markets. Don't think it can't happen in Chicago and other cities that elect Democrats. It can and it will.
Mm.
There are certain laws of physics. Buoyancy. There's a law of buoyancy. There's a law of gravity. Economics is the same thing. It's mathematically demonstrable. There are certain laws of supply and demand. If you begin to interfere with the natural economic forces, it's no different than interfering with natural forces of physics. There's going to be a ramification. For every action, there will always be an equal and opposite reaction. That is not only true in physics and chemistry, it is in physical science, it is true in economics. For every action, there will be an equal and opposite reaction. And it will not stop the theft and the crime. It will not stop the theft and the crime. If anything, it may increase it.
Mm. I remember as a kid living in Nicaragua exactly the same way, Soviet-style type stores. The government controlled it. You got a little card. You went in there. You got it. If there was any, usually it was ransacked by the time you got there.
Yep.
And now, nobody could, Jacob, nobody could imagine, David, listen, no one can imagine this could happen in the West. It can only happen over there. David, can it happen?
Absolutely, it could happen. We know eventually the world's coming to a state where a day's work will be exchanged for a day's food.
Mm.
And
one person.
So, for one person. Yeah. So it's coming like this. And the Marxism that has infiltrated America in our education system, all these systems have created people that don't actually understand American capitalism. Like for Moriel, we know that you can give out paper making kit and candle making kits to women in KwaZulu-Natal, and all of a sudden they're capitalists and their lives are improving, you know, and it works. But now that you interfere, I mean, like the government creates these depressions, they create these recessions, and now they're trying to fix a recession by tamping down, raising interest rates and destroying home sales. and it's only going to create more inflation. And then what we saw a couple weeks ago up in Canada, milk is being controlled by the Canadian government. They pour it out, and then they charge people $7 a liter. Some of this you're already seeing happening. From what I remember, Jay said, like milk's $9 a gallon.
Yeah, it's out crazy. There.
Unbelievable.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's crazy, man. You know, come to Tennessee, it's $3.50, you know. Yeah. What's different? I mean, people are working hard, and the government of Tennessee is not as controlling. They allow the free markets to operate. And the Tennessee, they're getting ready to build True Local Beef, which is going to be a place in Tennessee where local farmers can send their sort of near sourcing. They're going to send their beef, stay in Tennessee and in the surrounding areas, and have a ample supply of beef.
So the next there's another aspect of this that people are not looking at.
Go ahead.
Very few people look at it, and it's very significant. Martial law. You take an American military base, either in the United States or abroad. Okay. Now I'm based in England. There are American Air Force bases where American military families live, adjacent to or on the bases. Germany the same. They're still there in NATO. Okay. You can go not with euros or with British pounds. You can pay in U.S. dollars. You're not affected by inflation. You pay American prices for subsidized items at a PX, post exchange. Same here in the United States. You go to a military base. The base commander is like the mayor. The commander of the military police is the chief of police. The chief medical officer is the hospital administrator. Everything is run by the government on a military base. Okay. Right. You want to buy something, you go to the PX and you'll get a better price than you will off base. Okay. There's a reason they're taking a woke racist. I would say the man is a woke racist. This C.Q. Brown, making him the replacement for Miley as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He's a woke racist. He believes in this stuff. He doesn't believe in military promotion by merit. He believes in military promotion by inclusivism. Now, of course, our enemies laugh at this, and then it shows American weakness to China and so forth. But that is his mentality. What they are trying to do is take an economic system of healthcare, of police, of commerce that exists on military bases for military families and make it a norm. In other words, it becomes a police state.
Yeah, pretty much.
That is what they're thinking. That is why you've got Brown as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff in part. And I'm sorry to say that 29 Republicans voted for that woke racist. 29 Republican rhinos voted for him.
One thing that I wanted to mention real quick before we get into it, because I don't want to get stuck in the same subject, is the stagflation trap that is going to lead to universal income, UBI. This is the ultimate part of it. Helicopter money, food rationing, and of course, the ultimate thing is what the government has been planning on doing and wants to do to get the public to accept not only UBI, but UBI as a CBDC, where you have no other choice. You want to get some food. You want to get some, you want to go to the grocery store. Well, they're only taking this. They're only going to take this. Central bank digital currency, because that's what the government is backing. Yep. Helicopter money and UBI and CBDC. I could see it. I could see that it's a very possible scenario with these uncontrolled economies where people are going to have to force to do it. And Jacob, you know where that's going.
Of course we do.
Yeah.
Well, as Christians, we understand where it's all going. Revelation 13.
Exactly right. And so these are not isolated events. They're linked together. And the scriptures are always right. The scriptures are always going to point to the inevitable.
Always.
Yeah. So, David, I don't know if you had your hand up real quick. Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Let's finish this off.
It was interesting. I was watching on one of the business networks last week. One of the ex-Fed guys came on. His last name's Connor. And what he said is one of the problems that we're having, and he's not on the the Biden administration's plan. He said that the rapidization change to green energy is one of the problems that we're having with our economy, and that we need more fossil fuels now, because the government's plan to switch over in 5 to 7 years is entirely unrealistic, because he said it will take 25 to 30 years to do. And he said that the problems that are being imported into the economy by is what's bringing a recession. He believes there's going to be a pretty good recession. And Bidenomics, this is just typical of politicians talking away problems that never go away.
That's right. That's right. Now, the you speak of the feds. Well, the U.S. Treasury Department, Janet Yellen, $33 trillion in debt. That's a national debt, $33 trillion. Yep. And counting. She says it's sustainable. You got guys on CNN saying the economy is great. I mean, people swallow this. And I mean, who actually would believe it except for maybe, you know, people like, you know, Paul Krugman. But $33 trillion is sustainable? Jacob, it has to collapse at some point. You can't just keep at it. You can't just keep
Yes, well, see, what they're looking at is relativism. Because the debt in China per capita is higher, local government debt, corporate debt is twice that of America, because China has a bigger debt, or because of the economic situation in the European Union and now Britain, because other countries are in worse shape, we're sustainable just because other people are in worse shape than we are.
Yeah.
That is part of her mentality. She's a very silly woman. She's always been a ridiculous, silly woman, just a political appointee who doesn't really know anything. I remember when inflation went up under Biden, within the first several months, she said, "We miscalculated." That's what she said. She's just a silly old lady. Yeah. She's just a silly woman who doesn't know anything.
Yeah.
So I have to tell you, Marco, some CNN, some of their reporters on the economic front are slamming Bidenomics and are starting to see it. Because
I guess that's why they had to bring all these other guys saying that it was great.
Yeah.
So it's
not great. And the problem is going to only get worse. This is why Trump seems to be doing good as someone that can fix it. But that's even questionable for the future.
I don't want to get too much into China, but yes, companies in the United States are pulling back out of China. Things are not going well in China. Wall Street's losing big on Chinese investment. Big. What's that company? Sounds like a spring. What was the name of them? Spring Garden, something.
They're bigger than ever. They're bigger than Evergrande.
Yeah, bigger. I mean, it'll be rippled effect throughout the entire
country
world.
Country Garden.
I always think of like a nice little tea. Country Garden
green in that garden.
No, it is absolutely a mess. And a lot of companies, U.S. companies, are absolutely losing big. They're backed out of it. We'll talk about it next week because I did want to talk about the other side of the economy that is going to, you know, probably implode faster than that. And that is the shocking reports of what's going on in the Darien Gap, going up to Central America, into Mexico, into the U.S. Same thing's happening in Europe, but in a different way. Biden is blaming the Republicans. Who actually is going to believe that? Undermining border security. But 6,000 male Africans showed up in Italy's Lampedusa island, doubled the population in one day. Now the government says we're just going to sprinkle them into Italy and in Europe. Here through the Darien Gap, down in Colombia, Panama, going up to Mexico. It is literally Texas calling for an emergency. Texas is calling for an emergency because they call it an invasion. Here it is. Texas declares an invasion as Biden secretly flies in migrants into different states and in Texas included. So, Jacob, as a whole, I mean, this is not a U.S. problem. It's not just a U.K. problem. It's not just a Europe problem. It is a problem worldwide.
Absolutely.
From the South.
Well, first of all, just looking at it geopolitically, first of all, or just in the United States politically, we've got to understand that Mayorkas and Biden are doing this deliberately. They're trying to turn red states blue, places like Texas and Florida and so forth. That is part of the reason they are doing it. And it proves they don't care about Hispanic Americans or Black Americans who are going to be displaced out of job opportunities because of it. And they certainly don't care about the middle class who are going to be taxed to fund it. They don't care about that. They don't care about the fentanyl or the crime or the fact that there are narco-terrorists and terrorists crossing the border. They just don't care. It means absolutely nothing to them. That is true. However, looking at it geopolitically in light of scripture, it always comes back to what Daniel said. The conflict will be between the kings of the north and the kings of the south. That is taking place in North America, and it is taking place in Europe, in Britain, in Sweden. There it is more serious because a lot of the people coming from Africa are Muslims, and a lot of the people coming from the Middle East are Muslims, radicals among them. They want to escape the stinking camel urine Muslim world, which I can understand, but they want to bring the camel urine with them into the civilized world and complain about anti-Islamic bias and Islamophobia and to try to force their Islam and respect our Quran and all this kind of stuff. Well, if that's what you want, why did you leave the Muslim world? But you're not allowed to say that because it's the truth.
David, real quick, before we get into the Canada thing, the Biden is actually not caring about the border, never visits the border, all that stuff. But it's the same thing with European politicians. You had this lady in Italy, Giorgia Meloni, who was supposed to be the darling of the Italian, the newer European Renaissance, that she's not going to allow migrants. All of a sudden, now she's sprinkled them in all through Europe and Italy and more to come. Are they just busting Italy because of their stands, like Yugoslavia, Bulgaria and Hungary? And what was the other country? I think those are the ones who stood up against the EU and says, no, we don't want migrants here.
Well, she said she was going to fix the problem. But of course, when you have worldwide, the Soros Foundation, Open Society Foundation, that are funneling all this in there, there's not a lot she can do to stop it. She can't roll out the army. Right.
Yeah,
she can't. There's nothing she can do. So she just bows to the pressure, just as everybody is just bowing to the pressure. They're just ultimately trying to destroy all Western economies. And
it's not just a globalist agenda.
Yeah.
Once you're in the EU, as Italy is, as Ireland is, as France is, you cannot have ultimate sovereign control over interest rates. You cannot have ultimate sovereign control over foreign and defense policy, and you cannot have ultimate final control over environmental policy, and you cannot have ultimate control over immigration policy. Those decisions are made by unelected socialist bureaucrats in Brussels.
Brussels, yeah.
All your own politicians can do is rubber stamp what's decided by the powers that be.
Yeah, it's interesting. You mentioned Italy, France, Ireland all have problems, immigration problems. Obviously, France probably the worst. Italy is feeling the ramifications of that, and there's nothing anybody can do. But you're right, Jacob, Daniel, too, and there's a conflict coming, and it's here, and we're dealing with it. We need to trust in Jesus. But here's, you mentioned that they're not allowed to say anything. You're not allowed to say anything. But here's the anti-grooming protests in Canada. Parents speak out against the transgender propaganda in the schools. It's a big protest. It's a million march for children. That's what they call it in Toronto, Ottawa, Edmonton, Calgary, Vancouver, Montreal, and beyond. Very peaceful. Now, there's an anti-protest, basically a counter-protest against them. As Canadians say no to gender identity ideology in schools, there's a great movement of LGBT against those protests. There's Muslims with Christians trying to fight against the LGBT, which the LGBT, by the way, feels betrayed by the Muslim community, because they're the ones who brought them in and voted for more immigration. Now they don't like it because the Muslims are not liking them. And so it's a big mess, but ultimately it's multiculturalism having its wonderful fruits. It's anti-grooming protests, but there's a counter protest. basically, they're saying that we just want to, you know, basically groom your kids and get over that. That's really what they're saying, aren't they? You know, parents, you have no rights to protest against what we're going to do to your children.
That's what they're saying. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the valleys and the inhabitants of the cities, what grew on the ground. That's what happened then. And that is what is going to happen in the future, and probably the not too distant future. What a wonderful day that will be. Let me read further. Romans chapter 1. In the same way, men also abandoned the natural function of the woman and burdened their desire towards one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the dual penalty of their error. They did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, so God gave them over to a depraved mind to do things which are not proper, that is, what are not natural. We also read the same thing is true. God gave them over to degrading passions. The women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also, the men. It is the nature of a woman to protect her children. These women are wanting to give children over. Well, they can give the children over, but what they cannot do is prevent God from giving them over. Hmm. They will give the children over, but God will give them over. They can outlaw the Bible as hate speech, or they can get an inclusive Bible and redact it or rewrite it along the lines of what they want to believe. It doesn't matter. God's word is God's word. The reason these people are becoming so aggressive and assertive and arrogant is because God has given them over to this perversion. Mm. When you go after children, we are told it's better for a millstone to be tied around your neck. These people have nowhere to go but hell. And I find it, while God is wanting none to perish, I'd rather these people repent and be saved. If God has given them over to it, they're not going to repent and be saved. They will have nowhere to go but hell. And I can't say I feel sorry for them.
The effect of it, obviously, I don't think Trudeau has ever read that part of the Bible. So that's something he's completely willfully unaware and unwilling to deal with it. And I guess his popularity is not that good right now. But anyway, I think he's going to remain in power just because of the things he's done in Parliament there. Let's go to the final topic, Jacob, before we go. And you mentioned that you can't say anything. And this is exactly what the world is coming to. The censorship is very much tying its noose around pretty much everybody. Free speech is just about over. It's an illusion in a lot of places. They say it is, but it's not real. And here's one example. Here's a man who is not a conservative by any means whatsoever, Russell Brand in the UK. And he was censored. He was deplatformed for his stance on the war, on CBDCs, on what's going on with the children, what's going on with medicine from the government. And the UK government pressured Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, I guess Twitter, to call it X now, to take him off, deplatform him, take away his any income that he gets from it. And but they blamed him to be a high, far-right conservative. They almost blamed him and they painted him like Nigel Farage. He's nothing like that. But this one MP, I don't even know what part of the UK she's from, but her name is Dame Caroline Deneige. I don't know how to pronounce it. And she's sponsored by Google, of course, and she's going after them. But are we seeing the last of any free speech that's going to be tolerated in this world?
It'll happen in Britain faster than America because there is no First Amendment. Mm. So they'll set the precedent in Britain. But yes, they're going after free speech. The government has already been doing it by the corrupt Justice Department and the FBI, going in collaboration with social media and Silicon Valley to censor people. Things the government couldn't do themselves, they're getting private companies to do it. And liberal politicians have threaten companies with legislation if they don't do it. So, yes, free speech is absolutely going, and ultimately Satan's target will be to suppress the preaching of the gospel. That is absolutely true. But Russell Brand was a left-wing activist. He was a Jeremy Corbyn left-wing activist. Now he's a right-wing extremist. Notice the way the game is played. This past week, Senator Ted Cruz was questioning Biden's female administrator of federal prisons. And he was asking, how many women have been assaulted in prison? How many female prisoners have been assaulted in prison by transgender males? She wouldn't answer. They don't care about women. They don't care one bit about women. They don't care about blacks. They don't care about anybody but themselves. They'll turn against each other. They'll turn against a lefty who does not toe the party line. That's right. Look at Robert Kennedy. The Kennedy family were iconic in the Democratic Party. They hate him. They despise Robert Kennedy's son because he's a threat to the establishment. They'll turn against their own kind. You toe the party line or you're in trouble, just like the Soviet Union. Party members who didn't toe the party line would be expunged. Well, that is what they are doing in the United States and in the United Kingdom. Increasingly, other countries, certainly Canada, Australia, New Zealand, the English-speaking democracies are not in any way immune. That is what it is coming to.
Jake, David, what do you think? I mean, the free speech is, I mean, I think Jacob's absolutely right. It's about over. First speech, First Amendment here. It doesn't begin with free speech, but the right to practice your religion, the right to practice your worship, obviously, speaking of the Christian faith, that's evaporating along with the First Amendment.
Yep. And another, there's very famous, the Texas Attorney General, Mr. Paxson, not guilty on 16 counts of his impeachment. Yet now the Biden administration has come after him. Why are they coming after this man? He says he knows 100% why the Democrats are cheating and how they're cheating with mail-in ballots. And so they're after him because they need to shut it down. But also to shut down, it's important for them to shut down the Christian religion, because Christian religion is the major holdback for allowing Marxism to come in and take over the country. The way that the Republicans and Democrats both have allowed technocracy to come into our very lives, to be able to change our language, to be able to define a man as something else. And so we're losing the battle day by day. And if you can change the language, you can take away your right to speak. You can take away your right to believe. You can take away your right to assembly. Remember what happened in Canada. They froze their bank account. They were no longer allowed to assemble. Yep. The whole First Amendment and the other amendments are under siege right now.
Yeah.
Look at the last 2 weeks very briefly. Just the last 2 weeks, that a 12-year-old kid, tired of being force-fed transgenderism in the classroom by a teacher and by the school board, tired of being force-fed it, comes into school with a T-shirt, "There are two genders." Yeah. He doesn't have freedom of speech. They throw him out of school. He goes to court. The court rules against him. Now it's going to be appealed in a federal appellate court. A federal judge ruled against him. Now that judge should die in Alcatraz. We should open Alcatraz just for these judges and leave them there to die in order to defend the Constitution. This is a 12-year-old kid. He doesn't have freedom of speech. You have to tow the official agenda that is forced down the children's throats and allow your kids to be indoctrinated. Let's just look. Federal prosecutions of Texas state government officials because they're protecting their borders. The right. Federal government says, "We're not going to protect the borders." State says, "Okay, we'll protect it ourselves." "No, you can't do that. That's constitutionally a federal responsibility." "Yeah, but you're not doing it. So what? You can't do it." You have a police, I think it was a sergeant, who should have been indicted. He should have been indicted for shooting that unarmed woman who was a military veteran inside the Capitol. The films show the police even opening doors and allowing the protesters to walk through the corridors inside the Capitol. And all of a sudden, it was an attempted coup. Open lie. The film show it was a lie. They just made that guy a police captain or something last week. He should be under indictment.
Ugh.
And he gets a promotion.
Yeah.
Bye-bye, democracy. Thank God there's a new world coming.
Yes. Amen.
What do you think about Garland going before Congress on Wednesday and invoking the Holocaust because his family's Jewish? That this is a Holocaust against him. They're going after him because he's Jewish, because his political, you know, his political opponents are anti-Semitic.
I mean, that's it. If you say something about Obama, that makes you a racist. If you say something about Garland, that makes you an anti-Semite. That's the card they always play.
Unbelievable.
Okay, so let me see. Is Ben Shapiro an Orthodox Jew? Is he anti-Semitic? Is Dennis Prager anti-Semitic? Is David Horowitz anti-Semitic? Is Mark Levin anti-Semitic? I know plenty of Jews who lost family in the Holocaust, my wife's family among them, most of them wiped out. They don't agree with Garland. Are they anti-Semitic? They will always play that card. Jackie Mason knew that. Mm. Jackie Mason, the quintessential Jewish comedian, was brilliant. I met him and talked to him a few times. He had no respect whatsoever for what became of the Anti-Defamation League. Mm. He knew they played that game.
Yeah, Garland.
There are blacks. Candace Owen will tell you. They play that game. Oh, you're against Biden? Why are you? Oh, you don't like Irish people? You don't like, what are you, anti-Semitic? Or you don't like Obama? Or you must be a racist. They will always play that. Well, first of all, how could a Democrat be in a party that is rife with anti-Semitism, that has people like Olmert in it, and Tlaib in it, and Ellis in it? If there's anti-Semitism, it's in the Democratic Party.
Mm.
That's very the party of Garland.
Yeah, Merrick Garland choked up while talking about his ancestors and how they're going after him just like his ancestors were. Now, Garland's been anti-Christian without a doubt. But now
even anti-Catholic, even anti-Roman Catholic.
Absolutely, yeah. And anti-parents, if you protest the curriculum in the schools. But this is our world. This is what's become of that. Just wind it down a little bit here. We're going to go into backstage in just a few minutes, and we're going to be talking about the rapture. Now that we got Jacob all riled up, Jacob, you ready for Rapture Mania?
Let's do it.
Rapture Mania. You might not make it back to the UK. Remember that?
That's
right.
JD Barrick and those guys are right. I might not make it back to England. I might be raptured.
Yeah, so you better get to do whatever you need to do now.
Yeah.
And we appreciate you watching, and we're going to backstage. We're not going to be on YouTube. We're not going to be on Facebook. We're going to be on like Rumble, which, by the way, Rumble stood up against the UK Parliament.
And David, can you book me an airline ticket to don't let Moriel pay for it. I have to pay for it. Book me an airline ticket to Antarctica. I always wanted to see the penguins. It's on my bucket list, and I want to make sure I do it before the rapture is coming on the 25th.
But that's Sunday, so you're not.
Oh boy! Well, JD Farrick says I better get this stuff done before then, so I want to go down and see the penguins. Can you work it out for me?
Well. You got to get to Antarctica and you got to have a trip. And being that this is the end of season, I don't know if they would actually have anybody get you there. Maybe New Zealand, you can fly that plane to go over there.
Yeah, yeah, from Christchurch. But it's on my bucket list. I've seen that plane, but it's on my bucket list.
Yeah, let's save the bucket list for the backstage. So,
all right, watching,
we're going to be on Rumble, we're going to be on Vimeo, we're going to be on, of course, Moriel.tv, MorielTV.org. We're going to be on Telegram, RTN. And we're not going to be on YouTube and Facebook, so they won't let us talk about this stuff. And neither should we approve of them censoring anybody. But I like what Rumble did. They stood up to the UK Parliament and they said, go take a hike, as the Americans say. Go take a hike.
It's not an accusation.
It's a conservative government in Britain.
Yeah.
It's not the Labour Party. If these are the conservatives, what would Labour be?
I don't even want to know.
And I'd just like to mention real quick, that none of the allegations against against Russell Brand have been substantiated. They are just this. They are an allegation. They're not proven, but on an allegation, you're to be censored. Come keep that in mind.
From Hawaii said, a woman has a right to be believed just because she's a woman. You're automatically guilty if you're a male.
Yeah, too bad I didn't want Biden. He would have been out the window. But anyway,
I was about to say, why can't we cancel Biden? He's got a lot of allegations against him.
Quite a bit of stuff. Quite a bit of stuff.
Even his own daughter's diary quite. She was afraid to take showers till late night. When he was,
David, you can't talk about that here. Censorship. They're going to come out.
Sorry about that.
You kind of have to edit that part. I like what Rumble did, and they stood up against it. They stood up against Macron. They stood up. So I'd say you go to Rumble, you're probably in good shape. We're going to be there in a few minutes. We're going to take questions there. So see you guys in just a few minutes. All right. Welcome to Backstage, the part of the show that our tech overlords do not want us to talk about. And we got an interesting topic. Before we get into that, we take some questions, but our topic is Rapture Mania. What are we going to do this weekend? Rapture Mania. And it's not to make fun of the rapture. We believe in the rapture. It's a true teaching in the scriptures. But what they're making it out to be, it's a fantasy. It's mocking. It's all sorts of things that is going on with the new ideas that are being circulated around, and specifically it's been circulated around by certain teachers and certain movements. So, and I'm sure that they'll hate us for that, but nonetheless, it wouldn't be the first time. Jacob, let's take some questions. Your thoughts on the Legacy Standard Bible, the LSB.
I have not compared it with the original Greek and Hebrew text, so I cannot give an assured answer. Okay. However, if it is a paraphrase, it is not good.
Okay, very good, very good. Is lying always sin or unacceptable, or does the context matter? Is it acceptable without bad motives, like the Hebrew midwives Rahab in the Bible, Corey Ten Boom, lying to Nazis to save and hide the Jews? Jacob?
That's correct. Also, thank God someone lied and saved King David's life. The scripture talks about thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. You must be motivated to damage someone else by slander, defamation, malmotive, to defraud them. It must be something that is a false statement perpetrated to the intentional detriment of another person. Lying to save an innocent human life is not bearing false witness against one's neighbor. The scriptures are very specific. Now, obviously, Christians shouldn't say things that are not true, but there are circumstances where we need to exercise sensus commonis.
David, any thought on that?
Well, I think he said it pretty good. I mean, that's first time I've actually heard it put that way. And so I learned something today. But I knew that you could try to always protect life. You know, you can, it's always first to protect life. When it comes to the Lord. And so hiding Jews, I've never seen that as a problem. I've never seen trying to help people in any case and not having done it myself. But I could see exactly what Jacob says. It makes sense. You're trying to protect life.
Yep, very good. All right. When the Bible
speaks, it's usually evil people, you know.
When the Bible speaks of the key of the bottom, in the opening of the bottomless pit, might that have something to do with CERN, CERN, and then potentially opening a portal between the spiritual and the physical realm? That's that CERN, I forget.
Collider.
The collider in Switzerland, yeah. Any thoughts on that?
The search for the Bose particle was basically carried out on on the CERN, on Lake Geneva, Lac Le Mans.
Yes.
But let's put CERN to one side. For more than 25 years, I have been saying that with the Enlightenment, there was a separation of science and the occult. All the way into the Middle Ages, magic and chemistry were the same thing. But with the Enlightenment, chemistry and physics went one way, magic, léger de main, whatever, went the other way. You have the same thing between medicine, pharmacology, and folk medicine. One went one way, the other, that was scientific, went another way. In the ancient world, all the way to the Middle Ages now, to a degree, astronomy and astrology are the same thing then. With the Enlightenment, astronomy, astrophysics went one way, astrology went the other way. There was a separation. Now you're seeing a rapprochement between science and the occult. Where are you seeing this rapprochement? You are seeing it in particle physics and quantum physics. You are seeing it in holistic medicine. Okay. You are seeing it in computer video graphics, and you're going to see it increasingly in artificial intelligence. You're going to see a rapprochement between science and the occult. But what you're also beginning to see now are people like Robert Breaker bringing astrology and theology together. There were people who did that. In the Middle Ages, there were people who used astrology and astronomy together. You can go to Roman Catholic churches. There's one, the Domitian Abbey in Jerusalem, Roman Catholic place. On the floor, there are three concentric circles, a pie with triangles. The innermost were the 12 tribes of Israel, the sons of Jacob from Genesis 49. Corresponding to that, the next were the 12 apostles. Guess what the outer one was? The 12 signs of the zodiac. You had science and the occult together before the Enlightenment. But before the Reformation, you had so-called theology, Roman Catholic theology, certainly, and the occult together. Those things are coming back together. They're coming back together. So many of the things you saw in the counterfeit revivals, Toronto, Pensacola, that was Kundalini yoga. If you look at the New Apostolic Reformation and you look at the pseudo-spirituality, people like Bill Johnson and Cheon and these people, that is Gnosticism and mysticism. You are seeing a remarriage of science and the occult, and you're seeing a remarriage of theology and the occult. All of this ultimately will be one of the things that prepare the way for the coming of Antichrist and false prophet. It goes beyond the CERN reactor. It's a wider issue of this rapprochement between science and the occult. We began talking about this about 25 to 30 years ago. And everything that's happened since then has reinforced my conviction that it's true.
Very good.
Jacob, can I ask one thing? Can I ask one thing, Marco, of Jacob on this subject of coming together? There seems to be a measure of Christian theology merging with politics.
Yes.
And that will have a detrimental effect on Christian thought.
Sure it will, but it's not directly related to the question that was
asked. Well, that's for sure. But you, as you brought the rapprochement in, that's still...
Yeah, there's a rapprochement between politics. We've said that as well. We've been saying that for more than 10 years.
Yeah, if all extends to a hot war and nuclear weapons, do you believe this could precipitate the rise of the rider on the white horse?
Absolutely. Yep. It is possible.
All right, very good. If Russia's not benefiting from BRIC trades, why do you think they would keep the trades going?
Russia wanted BRICS because it wanted to see an alternative to the U.S. dollar as the world currency reserve. That is part of the neo-Stalinism of Putin's strategy and in league with China to do that. That is why they got into it. The weakness of the ruble is a consequence, both directly and indirectly, of their invasion of the Ukraine and the ramifications of it with the sanctions and so forth, the weakening of the Russian currency. Fortunately for the U.S. dollar, both the Chinese yuan and the Russian ruble are not doing very well. But when you have more than 50% of the world's market in some kind of a BRICS confederation, that still does spell power economically and politically. However, let's remember, India and China don't like each other. These countries have no political union among themselves, even though they'd like to build one. China and India are going to be enemies. Any friendship between China and Russia is temporary. They've never gotten along and they never will. Countries that have always been rivals will become rivals again, despite interim treaties of convenience. Even when they were, Russia and China were backing North Vietnam to kill Americans during the Vietnam War with the blessings of Henry Kissinger and Nixon during detente. Even when that happened, the Russians and Chinese fought each other on the Amur River. Countries that have always been enemies are going to be enemies, and you're not going to change that. Additionally, the ruble and the yuan, the two main currencies, are weak ones.
All right.
The Indian rupee is a floating currency, but it's not a big demand for it. That is what's happening at the moment.
But the whole thing is running on, like you talked about, Jacob, the amount of oil that's in here. Russia benefits from being able to sell oil, energy, and America still buys Russian oil, if I'm not mistaken.
Very little.
Yeah,
it's still very little, and Russia is not profiting handsomely from its oil or natural gas.
Still get $90, or better on the open market. So,
But they've had it discounted to India and Russia, so they're not getting that much. Additionally, it is not refined, and additionally, they do not have the capacity to ship liquid gas in any quantity. And additionally, they're being paid in rupees and in yuan, so they are being hurt.
What's your?
Yeah, I didn't say they weren't being hurt, but I said there's still. There's still something about this with the energy, with the BRICS.
All right.
Yeah, of course, energy is a factor in BRICS.
I'm an enemy of America, importing inflation into our country.
Yes.
All right, let's continue. What's your position on how we're supposed to move forward with our relationship toward Israel now that their government has become anti-Christian in recent months and years? Should we continue to donate and support them?
We have to remember that Israel has always been a politically divided country. It is not the policy of the Likud or of Netanyahu's faction of the Likud to be in any way anti-Christian or inimical to Christians. It is the disproportionate amount of influence of the religious parties, what we call in Hebrew, Hamaflagot Hadatiot. It is them. And unfortunately, because, as we've said many times, because of proportional representation, which is the most unworkable form of democracy that makes a mess of everybody who has it, including Germany, and particularly Israel, you have to make these alliances with these small parties who will horse trade and even engage in political blackmail, forcing you to adhere to their policies. This has gone on with the religious parties of both the left and the right in Israel. The National Religious Party was in league with the Marak, with the left-wing party, going back to David Ben-Gurion. He began it. Menachem Begin persuaded the religious parties to come into coalition with the Likud. They will always, because of proportional representation, negotiate their relatively few seats in parliament for a disproportionate amount of influence. Having said that, the abortion rate in Israel is very high, while the birth rate among Orthodox Jews is very high. They are gaining political power progressively because of the abortion rate in Israel and the high birth rate among ultra-Orthodox Jews. But it is not something that represents a consensus of the Israeli public or of the Israeli government, of either party. It is basically the byproduct of coalition politics and proportional representation with the religious parties, who stink to hell because they come from hell.
Very good. Final question, Jacob. We'll take this one as the last one, and we're probably going to have to leave the other ones for another time for next week. When it comes to calculating the number of the beasts, it is supposed to be done with people with understanding. I know it's hard. It's a hard question, but do you have any some idea of what kind of wisdom it's referring to?
It will involve the use of something called in Hebrew gematria, and in Greek isopsophy. Now, this is not to be confused with numerology. Kabbalah, mystical Judaism, uses numerology. But gematria is well found in both testaments. It's certainly used by Matthew extensively. You see it very clearly in the genealogies of Jesus. So it'll involve gematria almost certainly, or isopsophy. But it presents a big dilemma for pre-tribulational people. Let he who has wisdom count the number of the beast. They say, well, that's the tribulation saints. Well, if the tribulation saints had wisdom, they would have been raptured too. They wouldn't be here. It's just a complete nonsense. It underscores one of the things that underscores the utter nonsense of pre-tribulationism. It is only those who are illuminated by the Holy Spirit who are going to be able to understand it. We have a book called Shadows of the Beast, and we develop a significant amount of page content to this very issue.
Very good. I think, Jacob, you did a three-part series on the Antichrist. You talked about the spirit of the Antichrist, the Antichrist itself, obviously involves
any Antichrist, yes,
on the mark as well. I wonder if we can dig that one out of the archives and put it up there this week. But anyway,
well, it can be downloaded for free as an MP3. It's a three-part Antichrist.
Is it on the website? I haven't seen it on the website.
Yeah, just on in the store. You can go on the store.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay.
Number of the Beast requires an in-depth understanding. The book is better. If you're able to read the book, you really want to tackle the subject.
Yeah, absolutely. Get both while you're at it, and that would be great. That'd be great for you. All right, let's deal with the last part, Rapturemania. Jacob, obviously we made a joke about it, and in no way do we mean we make a mockery of the doctrine of the rapture of the coming of Jesus, his appearance, his parousia. None of that. It's absolutely our intent in any way to say that it's not happening or it's fiction. What we are saying is the way it is being promoted and interpreted, and falsely interpreted, falsely promoted, as if some kind of date setting is coming this weekend. Yes. We've been talking about it for a couple of weeks since I think I was away in Palm Springs, and we began to discuss some of these things that were coming down the line. Now, I'm going to share my screen real quick because I think people need to see some of what we're talking about so they could understand, you know, what Jacob is pointing to about going to see the penguins and all. All tongue in cheek, of course, but it's a very serious subject. So this is what it's an article that is being promoted, of course, by a lot of ministries in regards to the 2030 agenda. And the narrative goes like this. Since the UN has done a meeting this year, it's called 2023 SDG Summit. And that's also in June, July, but it's also meeting this week. And there's a lot of other conferences dealing with Israel and Saudi Arabia and possibly some peace in the Middle East is what they're saying. But now Saudi Arabia broke it off. It doesn't seem to be any kind of agreement this coming week. But the officials all over the world are going to gather about a 2030 plan. And that is a seven-year, they're going to need 7 years, they say. They're going to need 7 years to implement this 2030 agenda, which has about 17 Sustainable Development Goals, SDG, Sustainable Development Goals. And these are true. It's actually a very real thing that the UN, the World Economic Forum, and other organizations have done in league with other governments in trying to make this work. We've been talking about it here ad nauseum, warning about the World Economic Forum, warning about the UN, warning about these treaties that is going to be devastating. We're talking about today about the economies. Now, what in theological circles, what some people have done is they've extrapolated saying, well, 2030, along with the movie, I think it's the movie Messiah 2030, they have anticipated that is going to be the return of Christ. And so they said, well, it corresponds to the 2030 agenda, SDG of the UN and World Economic Forum. Therefore, 2030 is the return of Christ. If we're following the ideas that they have, 7-year tribulation, that means 2023, where these agreements have been signed, must be the beginning of the 70th week. And if follow the theology that you're going to be raptured before the 70th week of Daniel, therefore the rapture must occur sometime this year. Now, it's only been, there's only about 3 months left, just about 90 days left. And so they're looking at Rosh Hashanah. Some groups are looking at Rosh Hashanah like every year. Some groups are looking at the zodiac, as Jacob's going to talk about, Robert Breaker, and saying, well, the signs point to September 23rd, which is tomorrow. Others are saying September 25th because some of these goals, some of these meetings are happening on September 25th. And they're saying, well, we have to be out of here by then. So now I set up the stage. They're looking also at the events of the world and how the church is being corrupted from within and going into horrible things like LGBT and transgenderism. And I'm just going to play a quick video here. This is a church in Dallas, Texas. This is Cathedral of Hope. And this is very, very infamous for their drag queen and story hour. And of course, here they are. They've invited the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, which were here in L.A. at Dodger Stadium. And they're doing this chant. So I'm just going to play it for just very briefly and then get into the rapture theology idea.
We recognize that all people are made in the loving image of God, no matter who they are, how they express themselves, who they love.
Drag queens are often targets of hate and violence, but we know that they are powerful and resilient people who show us what it means to be truly authentic and expressive. We honor the strength.
So they see this and they say, well, the church is so compromised. The persecution is arising. They see like guys like Merrick Garland. They see the government of the United States, the UK, Canada. They see the wars and rumors of wars, and they say, well, it has to happen now with this SDG. It's all making sense. The constellations are all there. So the rapture must happen. And they say this.
We may very well be raptured before Monday, September 25th.
This is a rapture alert, high alert. This year's Rosh Hashanah, this could really be the rapture.
Yeah. In fact, you know what? By faith, I'm not going to be available Monday, September 25th. And you won't be either. For real. I truly believe with all my heart that the rapture can happen before Monday, September 25th.
I guess we're going to have to stay tuned, but we've seen images like this putting all over social media, all over YouTube, all over, you could imagine videos and images and posts of the, to the day, to the minute, to midnight, really. And a lot of these kits are being sold after the rapture packets. That's being sold, so you get rapture, you leave this with your family. I don't know what's in the SB drives. I guess the USB has some Bible study guides and videos for those who are left behind. But we'll stop right there, and then we'll get into the discussion. Jacob, real quick. First of all, what do you think? Rapture mania?
What I think is, Well, we've just produced a video addressing this phenomena in its present form that'll be on Moriel TV in a few days. It was produced for RTN. It'll be going on RTN, I think, tonight or tomorrow, but it will be on Moriel after the weekend. You can watch it on Moriel TV, morieltv.org, moriel.tv. It'll be here, and it's called The Return of Jesus and the Boys Who Cried Wolf. The Return of Jesus and the Boys Who Cried Wolf. And we address it at length. It'll be in Moriel in a few days, and it's probably on RTN today or by tomorrow. Anyway, what do I think? It's the usual cast of characters. It's the parade of the usual band of crackpots. It's Robert Breaker. It's Mark Biltz with his blood moons. It's Breaker with his moon being in Virgo and the nine stars in Leo in the constellations in the zodiac. It is J.D. Farrick. That man is a crackpot among crackpots. His September 11th conspiracy preaching, he preaches about it from the pulpit, that it's a spiritual deception. Some people think the man is mentally ill. I don't know. I'm not in a position to diagnose him clinically. But I do know that he's a crackpot, an absolute crackpot. It's always the same crackpots setting these dates and doing these things. Howard Camping was a crackpot. He did that. Other people have done this. We are told directly. We will not know the day or the hour. We can't. Otherwise, Jesus is a liar. Additionally, the signs that the Bible give us to know the rapture is imminent is the ability to identify the Antichrist with 666 and the setting up of the Shikutsa Meshomem, the abomination of desolations. It's not these other things. Of course we want Jesus to come. Of course we say, Mar Anata, Maranatha, come Lord. Of course we share the frustrations of Christians seeing what they're doing to children, indoctrinating them, and churches going into this kind of apostasy. Of course we feel that way. But to set the dates or speculate about dates, it's always the same crackpots. Notice they do the same things as the Jehovah's Witnesses. They reset the date. They engage in something that sociologists and social psychologists, what they call cognitive dissonance. They cannot accept the fact that they've got it wrong, so they'll make a new date or they'll do it again. This was Mark Biltz and his blood moon nonsense. It's Robert Breaker with his moon in Virgo and Jupiter impregnates Virgo. And and of course, it's J.D. Farrick and there are others. These people are crackpots. They are the false teachers and deceivers Jesus warned would come in the last days. Their purpose is to discredit the church because the world knows these people are crazy. Secondly, they counsel rebellion against the Lord, as Jeremiah says. They're there to counsel rebellion against the Lord and give people a false hope and a false expectation. There are people who have rejected the gifts of the Spirit and gone into John MacArthur-type cessationist Calvinist churches because of these false prophecies of this very kind. Jeremiah uses the term Avil. My people are stupid. Those who believe these people are stupid. Those who pay attention to them, according to Deuteronomy 18, are in rebellion against the Lord. They're proven to be false. Why are you listening to them? They're there to discredit the church, to counsel rebellion against the Lord, and to mislead Christians with lies. As Jeremiah 28 says, of these people who predict things that don't happen, you have made God's people trust in a lie. That's what they are. They're people with a lying spirit, the same as the false prophets of Ahab, opposed by Micaiah in the book of Kings. And we are warned by Jesus they would come before he returns. And lo and behold, here they are. Please keep away from people like Breaker and Farrick and Biltz and others like them. We are warned to keep away from them. Read what Jesus said in the Olivet Discourse. Read Jeremiah 28. Read Deuteronomy 18. If you continue to lend credence to proven false teachers and false prophets who've made false predictions in the past, you are in rebellion against the Lord. Don't do it.
Jacob, do you mind if I ask you a quick question too? It's kind of like, because I kind of think this is just as concerning, one of the things JD is saying. He's saying that he's believing by faith that he won't be here, which makes me think, okay, well, so what does he mean by faith? He's obviously got a different definition. Would you like to comment on that?
If you say faith by biblical definition, it means that you trust the Lord has told you this. Let he who prophesies prophesy in according to his faith. You believe the Lord has shown you this. Now, they prevaricate or they circumlocute. Well, I wasn't really prophesying. Well, I didn't really. Mike Bickle did that with his false predictions in 1990. Mike Bickle was a master of that kind of revisionism and prevarication. They all do it. The Jehovah's Witnesses do it. They have to do it. Because otherwise, they'd have to admit they're false prophets and false teachers. No, their definition of faith is not a biblical one in this instance.
Yeah, the one question that we were just discussing, it's interesting how they extrapolate the 2030 to the 2023, and therefore they have the 7 years. And obviously that has to do with their theology. They have to fit it in somehow, some way. Jacob, your thoughts on, some people would say, you know, what's the big deal? They just have a different view than us or you, and they mean well.
The big deal is the Lord says, if you predict things in his name that are time specific that don't happen, you're a false prophet. You've counseled rebellion against him and made his people trust in a lie. Now, if that's what God says, that's a pretty big deal. You're free to disagree with God, but that's God's position. Unequivocally, that is his position. It is a very big deal.
That those that say they're sincere, they mean well, they're just giving people hope.
If they really meant well and they got it wrong the first time, they would repent and stop doing it again and again and again. Let's understand something. Notice it's September.
Yeah.
These are the high holiday times for the Hebrews. The autumn feasts have a prophetic meaning for the return of Christ. Rosh Hashanah, the first of Tishrei, that is the rabbinic new year. It's not the biblical new year, but it's the rabbinic new year. Okay? Notice they make it during the high holidays when you have Rosh Hashanah, Yom Teruah, originally called, when you have Yom Kippur, and when you have the Feast of Tabernacles. There's a reason they make it September. There's a reason they make it in the Hebrew month of Tishrei. There's a reason. It's part of the deception.
Very interesting. The one of the people that were saying it, it's Rosh Hashanah, which happened already last week when you were here, and obviously it was a false prophecy because it didn't happen. We're still here. The church body's still here. They conflict the blowing of the trumpet as being the trump of God. Jacob, can you comment real quick on that? First Thessalonians.
Yeah, that's part of the problem of the FAI people of Joel Richardson. They say true things about pre-trib being false. But one of their errors, aside from the fact that they're bedfellows with proven false prophets like Michael Brown and so forth, and Jim Baker, they fool around with people who we're told to keep away from, is that they do not distinguish between the shofarim, the ram's horns, and the silver trumpets. The last trumpet of Corinthians is not a ram's horn and has nothing to do with the trumpets of the book of Revelation that are ram's horns, shofarim. They are the silver trumpets. If you read about the silver trumpets, we have a recorded teaching on our website dealing with it from the book of Numbers. It is blown in a certain configuration of notes. It's a signal to set out, a signal to set out. I explain it in some depth on the teaching, the silver trumpets from the book of Numbers. It is available on the Morio website. The trumpet of the resurrection and rapture is not a ram's horn. It is a silver trumpet. It has nothing to do with the trumpets in Revelation, with the ram's horns. Joel Richardson's people get this wrong. A lot of people do.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. Anybody have any other comment on it? I don't want to take the oxygen out of the conversation. No, okay, you guys are good. And you guys had a lot to say earlier. Now you guys don't.
Marco, the one thing I would say is that I'm watching these guys, some of them, they start using qualifiers after they make their prediction. Well, I may, this may well happen, and things like this. So they try to backpedal their predictions and get people worked up. I mean, this thing with Mark Blitz was the blood moons and the books and the things like this. And then they just go on. Yeah. And so they do try to get themselves out of trouble, but it's not the way it works, man. You make a prediction in the name of the Lord by faith and it doesn't come true. Deuteronomy 18 applies. Have nothing to do with these guys.
Yeah, and my fear is just I think they're just going to continue on it. Obviously, nothing's going to happen on Monday the 25th, and it's going to move on. People are just going to move on. It's a short-term memory thing. One of the interesting things, a lot of these ministries were selling these after-rapture packets. I said, Jacob, I don't want to make a mockery of anything to do with Scripture, but it is certainly mockery of how they are so desperate to have these things be true. This is almost like a movie. In the movie Left Behind, they left these packets behind the church and these tribulation saints, what they eventually we call tribulation force, had to go back to behind the church, dig all this up, and they were going to be fighting the Antichrist and be witnesses for Jesus and all the stuff that they were going to do. But they were left these videos and these information in case the rapture break glass type stuff.
Yeah. What happens if you don't have a computer? Or electricity because of war and things like that. What if, you know, they're going to have distribution problems?
Yeah, it's a money scheme. Of course, they're selling this.
What do you expect from Jim Baker? Everything with him is a racket. He's a religious huckster and always has been.
I think he's selling the tribulation. Him?
That man was anointed by Satan to make born again a household joke, and he fulfilled his mission, his assignment given to him by the devil. He fulfilled it. 100%. He did what the devil had him to do. And now he's back in business. Yeah, so what are other people even doing associating with someone like him? If Jim Baker had repented, he wouldn't be in ministry.
He went in with that false prophet Rick Joyner, Morningstar, and got back on the map after his fall.
Of course. Some people consider him the quintessential prophecy teacher because he's no longer pre-trip. He's post-trip, so he's really the darling of a lot of the post-trip.
Yeah, and he's selling survival kits,
tribulation beans. Look, I don't have a problem with people have some kind of
supplies,
home supplies. But it's the other issue, Jacob. I want to bring up a lot of them. Were this is of course a meme. No serious theological ministry would put it up, but a lot of pre-tribulational ministries. We're commenting on this kind of idea, and is of course Barbie, and of course timing matters. It says pre-trib bride and post-trib, but what are they trying to? I mean, we know what they're trying to do. Can you explain it to some?
Yeah, this is the kind of nonsense that was propagated by the late Liberty University professor Ed Hinson. Would Jesus do this to his bride, or let this happen to his bride? Read what Jesus said to the church at Smyrna. Satan's going to persecute you 10 days. Don't be afraid what you're going to suffer. Get a copy of the Martyr's Mirror or the Fox's Book of Martyrs. Faithful Christians have usually been persecuted. The freedom we have had in the Protestant democracies is a historical anomaly. Let us remember the people who gave it to us, like William Tyndale and John Wycliffe and Mr. Coverdale. They were martyred. They were martyred to give us this book in the English language. The church is being persecuted today in many countries. More Christians have been martyred in the last 50 to 75 years than in the entire history of the church by most educated estimates. Yet they put this kind of garbage out. We don't have to suffer. You live in California. You live in Australia. You don't have to. Would Jesus let this happen to his bride? Ask the Christians in Rome who were fed to the lions. Jesus said, you'll have persecution. If they hate me, they'll hate you also. These people are deceived, and they're deceiving others. When persecution comes, it'll be the people who believe this nonsense who will fall away and betray one another. Who's going to fall away and betray one another, as Jesus said? Well, it's going to be people who believe that kind of garbage. That Ed Hinson, he's dead, but that kind of garbage. Them and the Word Faith money preachers who say, you don't have to suffer because you're a king's kid. When you do suffer, you're going to realize that you're going to think you've been defrauded. And you're going to betray other Christians. That is what is going to happen. That is what this is. It is setting people up. Instead of preparing for persecution, they're telling people, don't worry about it. The Lord won't let this happen to his Barbie. Well, the church is not his Barbie.
I remember when I was there when Ed Hinson was talking about that, and he brought that movie with Farrah Fawcett, where she, you know, victim of domestic violence, and he brings this up, and it's such an appeal to emotionalism.
That's all.
The appeal to emotionalism to the degree that, well, yeah, no husband would want their wives to be like that, but that's not what Jesus was talking about. He's not beating up his bride.
No servant is greater than their master. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you.
You know, go to the Roman, there's a crypt under the Roman Catholic Cathedral in Los Angeles near Union Station, where Gregory Peck is buried. Underneath there is a sarcophagus that was bought from Rome, a first century sarcophagus of a Roman noblewoman who became a Christian named Priscilla. Hmm. Her corpse, or what's left of her remains, are in there. She died a cruel death. As a Roman noblewoman, as a person of privilege and position, she died a cruel death for her faith in Jesus. Did Jesus love her? Yes, he did. Did she love Jesus? Yes, she did. He died for her, and she was willing to die for him. These people are deceived, and they're deceiving others. Yeah, come with me to some of the countries I've been to where Christians are being persecuted. You won't believe this garbage.
Remember the story about Vietnam. Davey, you have something?
David was right before, too, where he's saying they're using qualifiers, that they're not directly stating, you know, a date, but they're using qualifiers like, what if, you know, I believe it can happen. Both Robert Breaker, both JD have been doing this. But the other thing that they're doing, too, is they're already doing some pretty advanced damage control, trying to blur the lines between those who would speak against it, that instead of just mocking, you know, like the timing of the rapture or the pre-trib rapture, trying to tie it in with mocking the rapture period, so that basically if you speak out against them, basically you're speaking out against the rapture.
That's right.
Especially last week, very, very selective the way they worded things. It's kind of like,
and it allows them another bite at the apple next year when they have another book to sell.
I remember when the first religious liars who were defending these false prophecies began enunciating something back in the 1990s. It's when John Wimber was alive and when the Kansas City false prophets, promoted by Wimber, made false predictions. And I had people from the vineyard, pastors in the vineyard, were saying, like, this is what they were saying. Well, the New Testament says we prophesy in part. So these guys are part right and part wrong. That was actually their response.
Yep.
That is how sick and depraved Wimber and the vineyard movement is and was.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, you just reminded me of something I saw in one of the Robert Breaker video. He says, this is like 99 point something percent correct, you know, so it's kind of like, and I'm thinking, well, when the Lord predicted, you know, in Micah, you know, the prophecy is 100% correct. It's fulfilled to the letter, you know.
That's and right.
Bethlehem, Ephrata, you know, very specific, not just Bethlehem, but Bethlehem, Ephrata. It's not 99-something correct.
Yeah, correct. Well, the Dominionists for a long time have said, you know, because they they prophesy in part. They can say, well, now Jesus is a long ways off, so I'm only prophesying 50%. But as he comes, he gets a little closer, I'll prophesy 75%. And then when he's really close, I'll be getting to 99%. You know, so just an insane thinking and understanding of the Word of God. Yep. One lie makes you a liar. One murder makes you a murderer. One false prophecy makes you a false prophet.
Yeah. Isaiah prophesied with devastating accuracy, in depth, about the first coming of Jesus, and he made no mistakes, and it was hundreds of years before Jesus was born. Right. That yep. kind of thinking contradicts the pattern of Scripture.
Yes.
And I don't know who to believe. I mean, it's almost like, well, is it going to be Rosh Hashanah, which happened already? Is it going to be September 23rd? Is it going to be September 25th? There's various degrees of dates and people that are saying different things. So it becomes so confusing. It becomes a clown show. It becomes absolutely a mockery. I mean, they're the mockers yep. of the things that Jesus said. They're mocking because they don't believe what Jesus really said, and they make Jesus say something he never said, and this is the problem. But Jacob, as we finish off, which pre-tribulationism should we trust? Should we trust the apostasia that says the apostasia is the rapture, the apostasy is the rapture? Should we trust the one that says, you know, there's going to be a great revival after we're gone? Should we trust the one that Andy Wood says, that all those in darkness and moral darkness are going to be raptured
which
anyway?
Which one should you trust? Which degree of error should you trust? It's only a question of degree of error. Well, you yeah. shouldn't trust any error. You shouldn't trust any error.
Yeah. You know, you made a point, Marco, about yeah. confusion. Now, yeah. who's the author of that again?
That's oh, right. man. You know, the in the pre-trib world and some of the teachers there, they have called Jacob and other believers demonic because of he doesn't agree with the pre-tribulationism. So they have gone very much on the offensive, and they have really closed off to anybody that yeah. does not believe it. And unless you're willing to toe their party line, you're not allowed in their conferences, you're not allowed in their pulpits, unless you're willing to, you know, agree with them and keep your mouth quiet.
But, you know, they say if you don't agree with them, not about the rapture, but about the timing of the rapture and the sequence yeah. of prophetic events, that you're a deceiver, you're false.
Yeah.
Okay. Corrie ten Boom was a deceiver. A.W. Tozer was a deceiver. Charles Spurgeon was a deceiver. Dr. Walter Martin was a deceiver. David Parson was a deceiver. No, they weren't. Robert Breaker's a deceiver. J.D. Farragher's a deceiver. Mark Biltz is a deceiver. Pat Robinson was a deceiver. But the aforementioned were not deceivers. They told the truth.
Yeah, amen. Well, let's kind of wind it down. Anybody have anything, any other comment on it before we wind it down?
I'd like to comment on the short real quick that Davey made that we watched. When we posted that on YouTube and Rumble, I was really interested in monitoring a lot of the comments. And it was very, very surprising to me the amount of hatred rather than against, they called us scoffers, they called us mockers. They did kind of demonize what we were doing in that. But again, were we mocking the Word of God, or were we mocking the interpretation of J.D. Farag and what he was saying? That's what we were mocking. His interpretation, not the Word. But they take it out of context completely, saying yes, that we're mocking God. Well,
yep, they misapply. James is right. They misapply the passage in Peter's epistle, where it says the last day scoffers will come, saying, where's the promise of his coming? So if you don't agree with them in their date setting, then you're one of the scoffers that Peter warned about. No, you're one of the false teachers and false prophets who Jesus warned about.
Yep. And those that gather around them to have their ears tickled.
Yep.
Being these men are deceivers and deceiving others.
And you know, the sad part about it is yeah, absolutely. Jay's absolutely right. It would be the majority of that movement or that group who would accuse, you know, some, you know, us, other people, as being the mockers, as being the deceivers, as being the ones. And I always just always like to stand in God's word. What did Jesus say about his coming? But at the same time, Jacob, it's another subject for another time, and we'd love to have a discussion longer than this. But it really sits on dispensationalism, does it? That's the linchpin to it all, and that's why pre-tribulationism sits on dispensationalism. And it's interpreted that way, as Jay was talking about, because of the dispensationalism from Darby, and it sits on it, and therefore, well,
particularly the hyper dispensationalism of Darby.
Yeah,
it's not even basic dispensationalism; it's hyper dispensationalism. Yeah, of Darby, Schofield, and Andy Wood.
Yeah, I don't think some of these guys wouldn't label themselves a hyper dispensational, but the mirror in which they look at the rapture is through the dispensational lens, I should say, and they can't really get away from it because that's what it sits on. It sits on dispensation. So you really have to tackle the dispensational hermeneutic to really deal with the subject, to really deal with it. But Jacob, I'll give you final words. Why should I not be a pre-tribulationist? Why should I not be a pre-tribulationist, Jacob Prash?
Because Jesus said, after the tribulation of those days, he will send his angels to gather the elect. Because Revelation 7 says, these are those who've come out of the great tribulation. Because the scripture does not teach it. Because their own academic patriarch, John Wolvert from Dallas Seminary, its president, in his book, admitted that pre-tribulationism was not specifically taught anywhere in scripture. It's an opinion that's gleaned from other scripture as a matter of personal opinion, but it is not taught anywhere. It's just not in the Bible. The early Christians did not believe it. And it doesn't make sense when you look at the plain teaching of scripture. We have teachings concerning it. We have a book called Harpazo. There's a film that we funded its production with people, with some scholars, such as Alan
Kirshner,
among others. Well worth watching. It's posted on the internet. There are seven reasons, five reasons, multiple reasons. We have our own version of why you should not believe pre-trib, why it's not scriptural. The early Christians never believed such things. Now, don't forget, you mentioned dispensationalism. Darby and Schofield were not just dispensationalists. They were extreme dispensationalists. They believed things other dispensationalists thought were extreme. Spurgeon condemned what they believed. They said that the Epistle of James is not part of the New Testament, it's part of the Old Testament. They said the Sermon on the Mount is not for Christians, it's for unsaved Jews. Well, that is the same way they said the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24, Luke 21, is not for Christians. It's for unsaved Jews. Do you believe that the Epistle of James is not for Christians? Do you believe that the Sermon on the Mount is not for Christians? Well, that's what they said. That's what Darby's people taught. And they applied that same warped thinking to Matthew 24. That's the way it was. Remember, Schofield, who propagated Darby's ideas in the United States. Schofield was not a theologian. He was a corrupt, disbarred lawyer who was sent to prison for embezzlement. He was a professional swindler. That was what he was. He propagated the ideas of Darby in America, and he was a swindler. Darby was a cult leader. He founded the Closed Brethren. They're a cult. That is where they are getting these things, from swindlers and cult leaders. That is where they got their theology. Wolvert admitted it's not found in the New Testament. You have to read into the text something not there. John MacArthur said the same thing. John MacArthur actually said the pre-trib rapture is not stated. It's between the lines. When you read the Word of God, do you get your doctrine from what's written or from the spaces where nothing's written? This is what MacArthur actually said. It's crazy.
Thank you, Jacob. And of course, you know, Jacob, you've invited pre-trip teachers, which is really what we're focused on. We're really focused on the teachers, the people itself. We actually have a great amount of compassion. We want to teach them. We want to teach them what the scripture says. But the teachers who have propagated a lot of this stuff don't want to talk about it. And you've invited them to a debate, several of them, unfortunately, you know, to many of their, maybe their chagrin or our chagrin, they have refused. They have refused to come on.
Ice accepted it, then back down.
Yeah. So would you, are you still willing to debate any one of them regarding the preacher relationship?
Absolutely.
All right.
In fact, I'm even willing to put together a panel. I have three of their guys and me and two of our guys. Easy.
Very good. Very good. Well, that's because, you know, we're confident in God's word and we believe what Jesus said is going to come to pass. And he'll come just as he said he would come back. Every eye will see him.
Hello, and thank you for watching Morial TV. There are so many things that are happening at Morial Ministries worldwide, from the Philippines to Japan to India to Africa and back to Europe and the United States. So many of our brothers and sisters are spreading the good news of Jesus Christ to this lost world. We are so thankful for your prayers. God has been faithful and has blessed us in so many ways. If you'd like to partner with our efforts abroad and at home, please take a moment to click the link in the description and help us as the Lord leads you. Thank you very much, and God bless.